Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
ES Audio.
From the Evening Standard in London, I'm Rochelle Travers, and this is The Leader. There's a new gritty British crime drama in town, 6-4.
That's not her.
I shouldn't have stayed in Edinburgh. It's too close to us, it's too small.
Do you remember a girl called Julie Mackey?
Aye, the family said it was a kidnapping, but it was a disappearance. No, I mean, there's no evidence to the contrary.
So what do you think happened?
I don't know. Dad was a crank, I remember that.
Mr. Mackey, please, I need to talk to you. My daughter's missing as well.
The four-part ITV series follows characters Chris and Michelle O'Neill as their teenage daughter goes missing. But these aren't ordinary parents, though. Chris is a serving police detective and Michelle is a former undercover officer. The disappearance also has a number of striking similarities with a previously unsolved local case. Created by BAFTA Scotland award-winning screenwriter Gregory Burke and inspired by the best-selling Japanese novel of the same name, the TV adaptation is set mainly in Glasgow. The story is about kidnap, corruption, betrayal, and above all else, an uncompromising search for the truth. With me now is star of 6-4, actor Kevin McKidd.
I mean, the initial draw to 6-4 was it was actually working with Gregory Burke. Gregory Burke's, I'm sure you know, is a very prolific Scottish writer who I worked with before. We did a one-off drama about 10 years ago. And we always said, well, let's find something else to do together. And I was trying to adapt a book, a novel, into a TV show about a year, just over a year ago. And Gregory was the person that came into my mind as potentially being the, the person that could adapt it. So I call him, and we haven't talked in a few years. And he said, it's so funny you called, Kev. He said, we were literally talking about you today in a casting concepts meeting for this thing I'm doing called 6-4. I said, oh, what is it? So he told me about his project. I told him about mine. I said, look, I'll send you the book if you send me your script. And so the book hasn't happened yet, but the script I really loved. And so that was kind of the genesis of this whole thing. Was I just found out I was gripped by episode one. And that was it. And I love the character of Chris O'Neill. So, yeah, that's how it all came to be.
The TV adaptation of 6-4 is inspired by, but doesn't necessarily stay true to the original novel, does it?
Yeah, Gregory, I said to Gregory in prep, I said, should I read the novel? He went, no, don't bother. He said, you can if you want, Kev. He said, he really used the skeleton, if you will, of the story in 6-4 and the themes as a sort of inspiration as opposed to a true adaptation. If that makes sense. So he felt by reading the book, it might actually confuse the actors because there's quite a lot of different things happen because Scotland and Japan are such different places culturally. It was kind of impossible to make it a true straight page-to-page adaptation, if that makes sense.
Are you a fan of the crime thriller genre in general?
I am. I enjoy, I don't read much crime, but I do enjoy when there's a great crime thriller comes on. It's funny, I remember again during rehearsals, and while we were still kind of working and crafting the script as we were working through rehearsals, I kept saying, this, all I care is that this thing passes the Neil McKidd test. Now, the Neil McKidd test is my father who reads every crime novel and watches every crime drama. So he knows a mile away. He can see a mile away when the plot twists are coming and who did it and all this kind of stuff. So we need to keep, if we can keep him watching, then we've done a good job. And I think we've passed the Neil McKidd test. Honestly, that's the most nervous I am because he won't hold back.
Kevin, you've had huge success in the US with the very polished Grey's Anatomy. How different is it getting prepared for a role like this one?
You know, I mean, end of the day, I think the job, whether you're doing a theatre play, a very polished and slick American TV show, or a gritty British drama, it's all the same work. It's really getting to the truth of the character and finding what the authentic voice is of this piece is. You know, I think it's the same process, to be honest, no matter what you're working on. I really enjoyed the opportunity. You know, it is, Grace is a very, you know, network television in America. You know, it's all very slick. It's very beautifully lit and everybody looks great all the time. And that's fantastic. But it was really fun for me. You know, I came from that sort of kitchen sink, gritty British drama world. So this felt like coming home for me in a strange way, but like coming back, putting on a comfortable t-shirt, you know, after years of not being around it. So it just felt like, it felt very natural to come back into this sort of gritty, very realistic drama setting for me, because it's kind of with, you know, I worked as an actor for 15 years before the whole American thing happened for me. So, you know, it felt like, oh, this is just me going back to kind of what I know, you know, and I'm most familiar with, if that makes sense.
Let's go to the ads. Stay there to hear more from Kevin McKidd on returning home to Scotland and whether or not we'll get a series 2 of the new ITV crime drama.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back. Still with me is the star of the ITV drama 6-4, Kevin McKidd. Kevin, this project actually took you back home to Scotland. What was it like getting to film there again?
It was brilliant. You know, it was, I mean, I remember the table read. I came to Glasgow, and I lived in Glasgow after drama school. I went to drama school in Edinburgh for 4 years and then moved to Glasgow because that's where all the acting parts were at that time. And so I walked through the streets of Glasgow the day I got back and instantly bumped into people just on the street that I know, that are pals, you know, without even phoning to see if they were around. So it was just brilliant. The crews are fantastic. This talent level of actors is just brilliant. And so it was just a joy. The whole thing was a real joy for me. You know, and this is not a critique of American actors, but, you know, after the table read, I remember said to somebody, it's so funny, you know, American actors a lot of the time, they're kind of acting alongside each other. You know, kind of looking out front towards the camera, you know, it's quite presentational. And that's a real skill in itself. But British actors tend to act with each other, if that makes sense. And they don't care about where the camera is and that kind of stuff. They just connect with each other. And that just felt like brilliant to be back in that playing field.
And this is your first role as a police detective, right?
Yeah, it's my first ever police officer, detective or whatever. It's funny, I've been offered to play policeman a lot over the years. I think I did actually do one policeman in a short film years ago called Marcy's Dowry. But apart from that, I've always avoided it. And I always had this sense of like, you know, I should go, like, it felt, because I kind of look like a policeman, you know. So I kind of always felt that like, well, that's going to be there anyway. I should try and break new ground in other areas before I just kind of go back. But playing a detective is very specific. And I studied, I became friends with a Glasgow-based detective, lovely guy. And, you know, we'd hang out quite a lot and just to get inside his head. And what's interesting about the detective job is you have to be very great. You have to be great with people. You know, you're not being some tough guy and all that kind of stuff most of the time. Sometimes you do have to get tough on someone, but most of the time it's really about being quite demure and quite low-key and sort of unassuming and non-threatening. To get people to open up to you. So that was really interesting to sort of just be around that guy and really sort of get into his head about what it takes to be a good detective.
A big part of getting into your character, Chris O'Neill, was finding the right coat for him to wear, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I know Ben Williams, who I think is just a brilliant director, and we're going to see much more and more and more of him because he's such a talent. And Ben was like, I think he needs this coat. And he said, and it took us about 2 weeks to find this coat. You know, we kept trying different coats because the whole concept for Chris was that it's really about this man who's kind of in a midlife, not a midlife crisis, but more of like a midlife funk. Like there's a disconnection in his marriage. Him and his wife are sort of, the marriage is breaking apart. His ambition in his job is completely gone. He's kind of in a dead end in his job. He's kind of been passed over in his life. Or that's how he feels when we first meet him. But he's kind of this grey man, this guy who has kind of the weight of the world on him. And he's kind of sleepwalking through his life, if that makes sense. And then with his daughter going missing, and then this cold case from 15 years ago, and all this political espionage, and his brother being involved somehow because his brother's much higher up in the police, it kind of wakes Chris up, and we see him reignite and come alive again after years of being kind of dormant. So I think Ben really wanted this coat, this green sort of big, heavy-looking coat, to sort of, you know, be a sort of physical representation of the weight of the world kind of pressing down on Chris. So yeah, when we found that coat, we realized that was the one. But it took us about 2 weeks to find it.
What sets 6-4 apart from other crime dramas?
I think it's a combination of things. I like the fact I was very drawn in. When I first read the episode one, I was very drawn in instantly. The opening scene is Chris and his wife sat in a waiting room of a morgue in Edinburgh. You see them go in to identify a dead teenage girl's body that could potentially be their own daughter who went missing a few weeks ago. Now that, just in itself, that opening scene, I think is every, and I'm a parent, and every parent's worst nightmare. You know, it's your worst nightmare come alive. And I think that draws the audience. It drew me in. I think it draws the audience in very quickly. So it's not, you realize it's not just about this haste of the week or some kind of mystery that needs to be solved. It's this very family oriented, traumatic drama that we're also seeing unfold at the same time as this great sort of twist and turn kind of thriller plays out alongside it.
Can you tell us yet whether there'll be another series?
If it's received well, and I know that we all had such a good time doing it, that I certainly, and I think Gregory would too, if we found the right story, would like to revisit these characters again. But all I'll say about the end of episode four is that a lot of the questions, many of the questions, most of the questions that get posed and the mysteries that need to be solved are solved in a very interesting way. But what they lead to is more questions about a deeper layer of corruption and control and a power structure of our society that I think we if we were to do it again, we'd really sort of crack open and look at again. So there's a lot more, there's kind of a lot of seeds that are planted at the end of this thing for potentially more questions and more answers as you go forward. So yeah, if it does well, and I'm hoping it will, I think there's definitely an appetite to do a season two.
Episodes of 6-4 are available to stream on ITVX now. And that's it from The Leader. This podcast is back tomorrow at 4 p.m.